Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And good afternoon and good evening, depending on where you're listening from.
All around the world.
But it would be a happy Saturday, hopefully, for everybody.
Yes. Scott, how are you?
Good. There? Good, Sheldon. How are you?
Good.
You just
tired?
Yeah, you just returned from a pretty intense, like a leadership retreat kind of thing, or training?
Leadership, you know, training program for my work. And we had to do a lot of yelling and screaming, and my voice is all whacked out, so.
But you sound very calm at the same time.
Centered, grounded.
As usual.
Yeah.
That's the Sheldon we all know and love. So today, we're talking miracles today, and the A Course in Miracles version of what a miracle is. So it's going to be, I think this is going to be a fun show.
I think it would be appropriate that we talk about miracles in a show that's about A Course in Miracles.
Yeah, maybe we should have talked about that first, but
sooner.
This is show 7, we're now talking about miracles.
Hey. That's kind of funny when you think about it.
We're a little slow, but hey.
We're slow learners here.
But hey, like we normally do, why don't we start out with quotes? Sheldon, I think you had one picked out.
So we're going to start at the beginning, which is chapter 1, The Meaning of Miracles, Principles of Miracles. I'm going with principle number 3. There's 50 of them. And it goes like this. Miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires them. In this sense, everything that comes from love is a miracle. Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And I think folks that follow A Course in Miracles probably have heard of Kenneth Wapnick, who unfortunately did pass away. But he's one of his books is The 50 Miracle Principles of A Course in Miracles. And basically, he pulls out those first 50 miracle principles, which is a really nice kind of condensed way to look at things. And of course, his perspective on explaining them is great as well. And I think I picked out number 40. So that's if you're following the course, that's in the first chapter of the course, the text, and it's in the first section. And this is number 40. The miracle acknowledges everyone as your brother in mind. It is a way of perceiving the universal mark of God. And again, it's what I like about the course is, you know, we're talking about miracles, which I think if you ask someone what's a miracle, you'd get a lot of different answers. And I think the course approaches it the same way, but it's also very repetitive, even though it might have a slightly different perspective on it. It's all about kind of changing your mind and learning to love.
True dat.
True dat. Spoken like a master.
So are we going to just jump into a little meditation action here or what?
I think so. Yeah, I'll just kind of this will be kind of different. I think in the past we've kind of done more like journey type things. This will be a bit more of, in my perspective, it would be like kind of downloading information. This will be a pretty cool experience. We'll see. Well, this will be kind of an experiment too. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm game.
You're game. All right. So just have everybody just relax wherever you're at. And of course, if you're driving or doing some sort of work, we wouldn't recommend you participating, but you can download the archive later and listen later. But for those of you that are in a comfy spot, just relax into wherever you're at, if that's a chair or a couch or even the bed. And just take a deep breath in and slowly let it out. And just allow your body to relax and let go. And do that one more time. Very good. Just allow your body to completely relax. And as you do so, just allow yourself to imagine or feel that you're just completely surrounded in brilliant white light, completely protected, completely safe, and completely joined with yourself in heaven. And just allow yourself to relax into that and allow your body to almost dissolve into that completely. It can disappear if it needs to. And that's okay. And now just invite in, and it doesn't have to be in any form. You might see a form or feel something, but invite in specifically the Holy Spirit, because this is your partner, the comforter, the part of your mind that's still joined in heaven. And as you invite this presence in and become more familiar with it, just note for yourself how that comes in for you, how you feel it, where you feel it, what it might look like for you. And just send it a beam of light from your heart, just to deepen that connection. And now imagine this presence of the Holy Spirit is going to essentially download information to you. And you might experience this in different ways. You might hear the words echo. You might feel this kind of emanating through your being. And this is going to be the Holy Spirit telling you what a miracle is. A miracle is a correction. It does not create nor really change at all. It merely looks on devastation and reminds the mind that what it sees is false. It undoes error, but does not attempt to go beyond perception, nor exceed the function of forgiveness. Thus, it stays within time's limits. Yet it paves the way for the return of timelessness and love's awakening, for fear must slip away under the gentle remedy it brings. A miracle contains the gift of grace, for it is given and received as one, and thus it illustrates the law of truth the world does not obey, because it fails entirely to understand its ways. A miracle inverts perception, which was upside down before, and thus it ends the strange distortions that were manifest. Now is perception open to the truth. Now is forgiveness seen as justified. Forgiveness is the home of miracles. The eyes of Christ deliver them to all they look upon in mercy and in love. Perception stands corrected in his sight, and what was meant to cure has come to bless. Each lily of forgiveness offers all the world the silent miracle of love, and each is laid before the Word of God upon the universal altar to Creator and creation in the light of perfect purity and endless joy. The miracle is taken first on faith, because to ask for it implies the mind has been made ready to conceive of what it cannot see and does not understand. Yet faith will bring its witnesses to show that what it is rested on is really there, and thus the miracle will justify your faith in it and show it rested on a world more real than what you saw before, a world redeemed from what you thought was there. Miracles fall like drops of healing rain from heaven on a dry and dusty world, where starved and thirsty creatures come to die. Now they have water. Now the world is green, and everywhere the signs of life spring up to show that what is born can never die, for what has life has immortality. And now just imagine this gentle, loving energy of the Holy Spirit give you one final embrace as it slowly maybe drifts into the background. But again, notice that that connection that you have is always there. And just allow yourself to feel that calm and warming energy as you begin to now put your attention back onto your body. You should start to feel more of your body. You can start to wiggle your toes and your feet and your hands and just becoming more aware of your body. Just allow yourself to gently come back. Just take your time now to open your eyes and just be fully present and enjoy the rest of the show.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Kind of different.
Cool. Yeah, that was cool.
Again, I think it's a good reminder that, you know, the relationship that you can have with, you know, some people, Holy Spirit, or it could be Christ Jesus, or it could be, you know, any ascended version, but you can have a very personal relationship any moment. And that's just a reminder of who you are and where you really are.
Exactly.
Yep. And just as a reminder, so that section came out of the workbook, and it was in the section 2, and it was the 13th section in there. All right.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So miracles. What's a miracle?
What is a miracle, Sheldon?
Well, I was asking you, Scott.
I deflected, but I'll give a quick one. For me, my understanding has been that it's really very simple, and it's really a Course in Miracles is a course. It's a course in mind training, but it's a course in really flipping the ego-based fear and anger and hate and all that stuff that catches us every day, and it's flipping it back to love, just back to that source of love again. And then, of course, because we're doing that with our minds are so powerful, we might actually see things manifest differently in this dream that we're in and what we think is our reality.
Yep.
How's that?
Cool. It's awesome. like the quote that I read, all expressions of love are miracles.
Yeah.
So anything that connects back to love versus judgment and condemnation is a miracle. And anytime you're in a state where mentally you might have before been more likely to judge and condemn through your egoic separated mind, and you shift that perception and feel a sense of love and connection, that's mm-hmm. a miracle. Anytime yep. you do that, you are a miracle maker.
Yep.
So and I think they say, right, whenever you do that, then that's a holy and sacred moment kind of thing. Like that is, highest expression of love, really.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I think the course, again, it's such a personal course. I think it's 35 says miracles are expressions of love, but they may not always have observable effects because, this should be happening for you in your mind. And you don't even have a clue how this might be impacting the other minds around you or appearing to be around you.
Right.
And I think, the traditional, probably I'd say Christian approach to miracles is a lot of people would probably think it's about, healing when someone's sick or, you could have gotten in a huge major accident and it didn't happen, or you somehow got out alive. And that could be, forms of healing at the mind level, but it's not. That's not the complete version of what a course would see as a miracle.
Right. They would the emphasis, like you were saying, is generally people are looking for outward expressions of it, some kind of manifestation of a miraculous event or healing or whatever. But
right.
The miracle is the shift in the perception, the shift in your mind from judgment into love.
Yep.
So really going from your head into your heart.
Exactly. And I think, like Sheldon, you and I talk about all the time, the miracles I think that we're witnessing most of would be the changes of heart we see in the people we work with in our jobs. Right. That to me is the most important miracle. Sometimes it's nice when you've got like a project and it's getting crazy and all of a sudden it kind of takes a 180 and all of a sudden things come together, but that's not really it. It's just reaching people in their minds and in their hearts and shifting them so that they can go on and love and impact other people in a more positive way.
Right. And since we do spend most of our time at work, then that's where your spiritual practice is. It's not something your practice in expressing love isn't isolated from you're who you are, every moment.
Yep.
But it's always about being, the beingness of that expression of love at any given instant in time.
Exactly. I think, a lot of folks, and I know I was part of that kind of trend of, I need to go out and find work that, I can be more spiritual in. And then it sort of just kind of knocked me on my head when I, one was kind of pulled out of the metaphysical world back into a corporate world and realized, wait a second, if I want to be really more of a spiritual master and really become more loving, I have to do this no matter what, no matter where. It's in my relationships, it's in work, it's in all of that stuff. And it's not about quitting a job and then going in a cave somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
One of my teachers, you know, talks about how he was part of a holy order, and they would send him out into the world to get jobs and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
There was a phase and a part of their training where it was time to work, because yep. there's a lot of work that happens at work.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a really funny teaching lesson in one of the Buddhism, from way back, where they talk about a monk that had been meditating in a cave for 20 years and just reached this total state of bliss. And then the moment he came out of the cave, walked down into a village, I think basically someone looked at him or said something he didn't like, and he threw like a stick at him, sort of like, hey, you know, that time up in the cave didn't really matter much, did it?
It's like, how acred was that?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know,
we go on retreats, or we go away to anchor. We meditate in a quiet space so that we can anchor a connection into Holy Spirit, into the divine within, the divinity within, into the love within your own heart. But the whole idea is anchor it so solidly that you can bring that into traffic, into the moment when you have a bill that's overdue, you know,
exactly.
and you're freaking out, into, you know, getting fired from your job or having right. somebody that's causing you problems at work, or whatever it is, that you can bring that anchored place of love and peace into those situations. And every time you can do that where before you wouldn't, that's a miracle.
Exactly. And I think what's really important, and we've talked about this before, is sort of letting go of your notion of what like a miracle should look like, or what a shift should look like, because you really don't know what's going on behind the scenes at a subconscious level, which is why one of the miracle principles is the Holy Spirit is the mechanism of miracles. Mm-hmm. Because you might think, oh, I need a miracle. Like I need my house back. I need more money. I need a better job. But I think, you know, part of this process is letting go and allowing Holy Spirit or love or whatever to create what's needed, not just for you, but for, you know, the greater splintered minds, I guess, that are out there as well.
Right. That's why I always think about that, you know, seek first the kingdom within, all things will be added unto. Your first primary job is always to seek first the kingdom within. Seek first love, peace, unconditional love, peace within you, in your heart first.
Yep.
So if you're ever not in that state, why is that? That needs to be looked at. Don't worry about shifting the external circumstances. First worry about, why am I not at peace in this moment?
Exactly. And sometimes, yeah, that might be just allowing whatever fear or anxiety you have to just be there and just kind of sit with it and be okay with it. And again, I think that's what I love about the course, is you can also, you know, call in Holy Spirit and say, I would rather feel differently than this. I'd rather see differently than this.
Absolutely.
And the more I think you work with that, the more at peace you'll become, no matter
Absolutely.
What.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And those are all miracles. Every time you're doing that.
Yep.
You know, where you would have been caught up, and you're able to step back, call in the Holy Spirit, do a quick meditation, do a quick prayer, whatever, surrender up to the Holy Spirit, release. All of those are miracles. They may or may not manifest as a shift in the external circumstances.
Yep.
But when you're really grounded in that miracle-mindedness, which is the perception, the shifting perception, it won't matter at that point.
Exactly. That's what's so really cool about all this stuff, is sort of like you realize, I don't feel really good about this situation. Again, it could be, you know, at work, like, oh gosh, all these people I work with, you know, I don't really like this. They're really disrupting my peace. But then when you settle into it, you could come in the next day and just feel completely relaxed, at peace, and realize, well, this isn't a big deal. I can work with these people. I can work in this spot. You know, or maybe, you know, it could manifest into some other opportunity. I don't know. But the whole point is, it's your job to be at peace.
Right. And you start to, I think as you start to connect into that and you feel that peace, then it might be, you know, the judgment or whatever it is coming up in your mind. If you can quiet the desire to shift the external circumstances and look inside, why do I not feel at peace right now? And then some memory comes up. And if you can recognize that as, oh, that was a memory of my dad yelling at me or my mom or whatever those things are. And as you heal those things and you shift and you surrender that up and you release it, and then your perception starts to shift. Like you were saying, oh, the same people, but oh, I can work with that, right? Becomes, wow, you know, he's just in a lot of fear.
Yep.
You know, he's afraid of losing his job and getting a bad review or whatever, or getting a bad review and losing his job. He's afraid that I don't like him, or he's afraid that, you know, mm-hmm. I might judge him or whatever. And then you start to really see the fear-based perceptions in your brother and sisters, right? That we're all connected, we're all one, and that then the compassion arises. Then the, you know, there's a natural compassion that comes out of that, which brings a whole shift in how you work with that person. You still have to work with them, right? If you're
exactly.
at work and doing something in daily life, whether it's a spouse or whatever, you still are dealing with their, you know, with them
mm-hmm.
And in relationship. And that's why the Course always talks about it's always in relationships.
Exactly. Yeah. Just and we'll probably start sharing more examples. I just want to share one thing real quick, and then I'd like to have you share your story that you told me, Sheldon, about the two coworkers you have. But I remember this was like a week ago. A manager was asking me, hey, you know, we might want to form this team up, and just be honest with me. Is there anybody that you can't or don't want to work with? And I thought, wow, what an interesting question. And I realized that, you know, I had, with all the past history I have with this particular group, I'm like, actually, I could work with everybody. And then one person came up. And to me, it was like, one, I should be honest and be like, yeah, this would be for me a tough person to work with. But then it was like, wow, that's a great opportunity for me. And I can forgive, you know, in, mm-hmm. you know, go back in time and forgive and work on that relationship in my mind. And then maybe if I have to work with that person again, it just won't be a big deal at all. It'll be probably a great experience. And it was,
right.
It was just interesting to watch that process though. And I think what I brought that up is because you can do that. Just look through your family, your relationships, the people you work with, and those people that kind of ping at your gut, you know, or maybe bring up some fear or anger. That's what you want to be working on all the time, as much
right.
as you can. Yeah.
Basically.
Yep.
And doing that more than worrying about trying to change the circumstances, the external mm-hmm. circumstances.
Yep, exactly. And I think, again, like we pointed out, the more that you practice forgiveness, the more that you work on healing your mind, you know, miracles will manifest actually around you. I mean, it is a guarantee. It probably will happen in ways that you never expected, but it's just a byproduct of practicing forgiveness
right.
and working with Holy Spirit in that way. And so that's why, Sheldon, I think your story was really cool to hear that. So I think it would be great if you could share that.
So I was gone Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this past week. This just happened yesterday. I was gone Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in a leadership training program for work, and then come back to work, which is, you know, manage an auto body repair shop. So I come back Friday morning yesterday, and one of my technicians tells me that there's been a lot of unrest in the shop between painters, and one of the painters is super upset. And I've got an older kind of senior painter and then a younger guy. And the older painter is the one who's super upset. And he comes up to me first thing, and he's very clearly not happy. There's like a big cloud over his whole face and demeanor. And, you know, he was in such a twisted mental state that he had to repaint three different cars this last week. One of them he had to paint three times over. So he just was not in a space where he was doing things right, and clearly disgruntled and felt like he wasn't making enough money because they get paid on the number of hours on a paint car. So how many cars? And he didn't think he got enough. And so he was worried about his money and just all kinds of stuff. And he was also complaining about the other painter a lot, who's new. Relatively new. He's been there like a month and a half. And so, and I knew there was some tension between the two of them, but apparently had gone to a head. So I decided to have a meeting with the three of us, and had no idea what I was going to say. Really no thought of what the direction of the meeting would be. No preconceived notion at all. I just said, we need to have a meeting. Let's get together. Which is kind of funny to go in a meeting with, like, okay, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
no idea.
I know. Some people would freak out, be like, oh my God, I got to write this out. I got to prepare something.
Let me plan. Yeah. Let me meditate on it. Let me, you know, get my idea. And I was just totally like, okay, I think we need to have this meeting. I felt pretty clear about that. Let's get together. Go in the office, close the door. And, you know, the one painter, the senior guy who's mostly disgruntled, starts saying all this stuff. And I ask him to share from his heart. I said, just let it all out. It's time to let it all out. And then the younger painter's feeling defensive because he's like, I don't even have a problem. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no problem. I don't know, you know. And so it kind of starts on a pretty tense note. And the older painter starts to dump all the stuff that's been bugging him. And so there's this escalation. And he even said that the younger painter had called him a name in Spanish that was disrespectful, derogatory. And then the younger guy's going, I never said that. Da, da, da. And so at this one point, it kind of the whole temperature of the room rises, right? And you could even see the one younger guy's face turning red. And so I'm kind of like, and I'm literally like a man right now. I was pretty like chill about it. I was just like, wow, what's going to happen? Like kind of going, oh boy, this could spiral. But was just sort of kept the heart open.
Yep.
In a place of pretty peaceful, radiating light and love, just feeling like a tremendous amount of love and not really, I never really tripped into the fear thing. So I think that is the miracle, right? When you're able to perceive through the eyes of love, no matter what the circumstances are.
Exactly. So,
and it's kind of surrendering the need to control the outcome, right? Like, I need to say something now. I need to do something. I need to make this happen. I am going to fix it. I'm just going, wow, this is pretty wild.
Yeah.
But staying in this sort of loving space. And I really didn't think about it like I'm saying it now. I'm just sort of kind of reflecting. This happened yesterday morning. So, but just staying there. And so the guy's saying, yes, you did say it. No, I didn't. I would have never said that. And yes, you did. And I remember clearly you said it. And you said it when we were standing here and we were da-da-da-da. And he's recounting everything. And you can totally feel it like spiraling a little bit. And I'm going, wow, this could go south on me.
Yeah. Right.
This is like touch and go right now. And then, you know, then the miracle happened, I guess. Or the miracle was staying in peace. I don't know. The younger guy starts to talk, and he was just like, hey man, I've shifted a lot. I would never say something like that, you know. And the younger guy looks like he could be a thug, you know. It's a very intimidating body expression and physique. He's this stocky guy, and he's tattooed all over, and he just looks tough. And he has a very rough expression on his face, and he's just like, you know, and he knows that, and he's like, I don't want to be judged by how I look and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, I've changed a lot ever since I had my two kids. And then he kind of said, I look at you like my dad. My dad is a painter about your age, and he's been working for 30 years at this other shop. And then he always talks about the young guns coming in and being disrespectful to him and kind of trying to, you know, take over and all this kind of stuff. And I always swore I would never be that man, you know, because I've never done that to you. I've never disrespected you. I've never talked down to you. I listened to you, da, 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 like that. And so that was like the shift. And then the older painter just cracked. It was like, and he even said, I feel like something just cracked in the air. I feel like everything just broke. He goes, and he kept using the expression cracked and broken. It feel like it just all broke apart. And he goes, and he admitted that he was actually afraid to talk to the other guy. He goes, you kind of intimidate me. I'm afraid of you. You know, I'm afraid to tell you what to do or how to do things or how we do things here or to show you how to do something. Cause you just, he goes, dude, you don't need to be like, you know, you don't ever need to be afraid. I would never disrespect you. You know, I'm here to work. I work hard. I'm focused. Da, da, da. And sometimes that comes off as being maybe angrier cause he's so intense, you know, and focused that maybe that comes off because I don't have an assistant like you do. So I'm working double, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it just shifted, man. The whole thing melted. Even the younger guy at one point was started laughing, and they were both laughing and joking around. And the other guy, and then I told him, can you both forgive each other? I was like, can you forgive? And the older guy's actually a pastor in a church or something like that. Wow. So I looked right at him and I said, can you forgive him? Because he actually holds on to things. And I know this is his personality. Yeah. I said, can you forgive him? Can you let it go in your heart? Just give it up. Like it, because you believe in your mind that this guy said something to you. You know, can you just forgive that, let it go, and just move forward from this moment now. Can we move forward in a different way? And there was a couple practical things I had to shift in terms of how they work together, you know, but it was very simple and very minor, like one little tweak on how they work together so they were sharing a little bit better. And he said yes. And then the other younger guy actually had apologized earlier and said, hey, if you think I said that, I want to apologize to you right now because I would never say that to you. And he had done that really early. Anyway, so then they both agreed they would forgive each other. They shook hands without me trying to tell them, oh, now you got to shake hands. They just extended hands and shook hands. And the older guy put his hand on his back and pat him on his shoulder and said, hey, you know, let's work together. And they did. And during the day, there was some stuff that came up where they had to talk to each other about who was going to paint what car and all this kind of stuff. And it was completely different, total shift in how they were working together. I'd never actually seen them in the shop just standing there talking to each other because there was this tension between them. And they were doing that a couple times. And there was, it was pretty awesome, actually.
That really is. I mean, that is quite... That's a miracle, you know, as far as getting people that would normally, I think, avoid each other, probably, like I think you talked about earlier offline, you know, people make stuff up in their head. And before you know it, people hate each other because they made all these stories up in their heads. And all it takes is a sit down and go, hey, you're a person, you're a person. They're actually, you know, again, someone that might look probably more aggressive outwardly, but man, sounds like he's got a big heart, right?
Yeah,
and they would never know that if you wouldn't have brought him down and make peace.
Exactly. And I think that the older guy had never seen that side of him because he never interacted on that level. And when he did, it just cracked him. And he just was like, everything is good. I'm good. You know, he goes, I feel comfortable now. I feel like I can talk to you now. I feel like I can walk up and say something if I need to. I feel totally comfortable now. And he was just like, everything shifted. And then Alex starts, or I shouldn't say, the younger guy starts laughing and he goes, yeah, man, I was getting a little hot there for a while. And he even said it. He goes, I could feel the heat rising up in me. And he goes, it's all gone now.
Yeah.
Because I feel it totally gone. It's gone. And so they were both just shifted in just a beautiful, beautiful way.
Yeah.
It was actually incredible. I was just sort of blown.
It's amazing. Wow. Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. Like, you were in the frame of mind of looking at them more with love and again, as spirit instead of these bodies that had some sort of appearance to them. And that's what starts cracking everything open. It takes one person. And in the case of you, you know, being more of a teacher and in this case also a manager, right? That's all it takes.
And it's almost like more of a witness. It was like, I did say a few things. Okay, whatever, right? But it was like almost like you're witnessing this whole thing. It's like when you're in meditation and you're watching your thoughts float across your mind. I'm just sitting here going, wow.
Yeah, that's the part of all of this that I've found, at least for me, I've learned as a manager. I used to dread having the sit down like you just had. And I think so many people are in that boat because they're like, oh my God, it's so hard. It is about emotion. It's what if it goes south? You know, all these fears. But what I've learned over time is like there's very little I need to do. It's like actually really easy.
Right.
And if all you do is you're holding a space of like peace and love, it's just naturally going to come in. And, you know, it might take a little bit of effort sometimes because some people can be very stubborn or caught up in their stories. And you're just there to kind of crack those stories open a little bit and then allow the real person to come out.
It's like I need do nothing.
I need do nothing. Or the other one that always goes through my mind is rising above the battlefield with the Holy Spirit. Just you're just kind of watching all this going, this is kind of funny, and let these people work this stuff out, but kind of hold the space for love.
Yeah, and it was cool. I was felt like a witness. You know, I got to witness a beautiful healing happen there. And feel very grateful that, you know, I could witness it, you know, just sit there and go, wow, that was awesome. That was beautiful, you know.
Yep.
These guys, you know, I think that, and the younger guy had said at one point, part of his sharing was like, I love working here, man. He goes, I told my wife the other day, I whistle when I come to work. He goes, he had worked at another shop for 8 years. And he goes, I hated that place. I hated going to work every day. It was miserable. The environment sucked. Dah, 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 dah. And he goes, I love coming to work here.
And he goes,
and I didn't know that you didn't. Like he didn't know that the other guy had any problems. You know what I mean? He just didn't. He was just in his world, focused, hardworking. But he goes, I love coming to work here. And I've never had that in another place. And so I think that also helped the other guy to sort of shift his perception and go, wow, you know, maybe this is a little bit on me and my perception.
Yep.
And
exactly.
Can you let it go? And he's like, yeah, I can. Absolutely. So, you know, that just will go even further in terms of just healing all of the forms of separation and all of the, you know, it's just making the group that much more cohesive and familial.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a culture of bringing that together versus, I think, at least traditionally, in what I'm seeing, at least in our North American culture, is it's a culture based on judgment, a lot of judgment. You know, you look at what's going on in the media. You know, I occasionally will try, you know, read up on like blogs or things on the internet, and you look at all the comments people leave. It's just very thick with judgment. And I think people walk around trying to protect themselves from judgment. You know, they've got a lot of fear or anger around it. And that's why I think people that, if there's anybody listening to this, you know, I would imagine you're already tuned into, you know, non-judgmentalism, but that's the key. It's just seeing everybody as loving, spiritual people, and just your brother or sister kind of thing, and makes everything easier when you see it that way versus buying into all the different judgments and the stereotypes that the media and the greater communities would want us to believe to keep us all separated.
Right, right. And you have to look at all your fears that are coming up inside your own heart.
Yep.
And when you, you know, when you are judging, when you are feeling fear, when you are feeling separate and alone, or you know, and some kind of fear is coming up. Oh, this guy might take my promotion or whatever it is, right?
Yep.
All of those things that are coming up. They look smarter than me, or you know, in the workplace, those are the kinds of things that come up a lot of times, right?
Yeah, that's why I've learned I've got plenty to work on for myself rather than getting other people's business all the time, that's for sure.
And that's what the course is all about, right?
Yep, exactly.
It's always about the mind, your state of mind and heart. The level of openness of your heart, because when your heart's open, you know, your mind tends to be more quiet.
Yep.
And, you know, you need to shift the mental perception, and that opens the doorway and the gateway. So, and every time you do that, that's a miracle. So it is, of course, the miracles. It's about, you know, miraculous living. I guess you could call it that.
Yep.
Because everything that happens at that point is miraculous, always, all the time.
Yeah.
And I think the Course, doesn't it say that? That miracles are natural, they're occurring naturally.
Yes.
When they're not, you should be wondering why not, or something like that.
Yep. It's literally, I think it's 21. Miracles are naturally signs of, I already read that one. But yeah, it's our natural state. Our natural state is to be love, to be in love with creation. That's why it's more of an allowing than, you know, forcing it to happen.
Right.
It's a very feminine. This is a very feminine approach to you know working with your mind. It's not about forcing your mind to love. It's about allowing your mind to love.
Right. It's not about discipline in that sense.
Exactly. There's discipline in that you got to be vigilant. I mean, I know when I was, even today, I mean, I have to remind myself, oh, slipping again. Oh, judging again. Oh, I'm out of peace again.
Vigilant's a great word for it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But it's not a discipline in the sense of like gutting through it in the sense.
Yeah. There's not enough push-ups you can do to be ready.
Exactly. It's like, how far back can you let go and fall into absolute surrender?
Mm, that's beautiful. I like that.
Yeah. It's just, it's like, you know, on the leadership training thing, we were doing those trust falls where you climb up a ladder and then you fall backwards and then your whole group catches you.
Yep.
And we did it on the third step up the ladder and the fourth step up like a 6 or 7 foot ladder or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then on the graduation day, we did it 5 rungs up. And that was pretty high up there. You were close to 6 feet up in the air with your feet and then standing, and then you have to fall backwards. It's like that, though. How far back can you fall into absolute surrender to love? And just allowing that to flow through and guide and direct your thoughts and life in all aspects.
Yeah. You know? And that's a great example of sometimes you can use your body to help learn some of these concepts. Because like you and I have talked about, I've been through that training as well. And I've found some very beautiful things come out of experiences like that. I'm not saying everyone should go out and do a high ropes program, but Like you can do that. Like I know there's corporate versions of it where it's like, yeah, you just fall and you learn, okay, I can push my boundaries. But then you can always do that stuff with some sort of an intention behind it. Like you can like intentionally, what are you falling into? I'm falling into love. I'm falling into acceptance. And that blows it open even more. So you can use your body to kind of heal your mind more and have these amazing experiences that will open your heart even more.
Right. Absolutely. That's cool.
It is. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, when I did that, doing a leadership training, and it was not a corporate one, I think I fell into love or something, you know, like support or something. And man, I cried like a baby. It was amazing. Cracked my heart wide open.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that was a miracle, you know, like stuff like that. I mean, to me, that would be a miracle because like I never would have done that before, but stuff led me to that point and that experience, and it just helped, you know, blow open my heart more. Now, like, to me, those are the things that, you know, we don't celebrate enough in our community, but man, stuff like that's powerful and amazing.
Yeah, we don't celebrate it and value it, right? We're not. Yeah. The celebration would be the valuing of that moment.
Exactly. In a corporate setting, people would laugh. I know that for a fact. I know at least where I work, because I know there's a leader in my company I have huge respect for, and he's cried in front of people. I love that. But he has been chastised by people. You know, I snicker and laugh, and I'm like, but that's beautiful. Why are you laughing at that? That's guy. Right. The guy's sharing his heart. That's amazing.
Right. Right. That is awesome, and that needs to be kind of encouraged. I'm a big crybaby. You know that.
No. I'd love to get you to cry on the show one day.
On the show. Awesome. Haven't I? I'm surprised. I haven't.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, it's coming, I'm sure.
Cry, but, cry.
But I cried at the training thing twice. You know.
Yep.
Three times, actually, I think. In front of everybody. Standing up by myself in front of the whole group, you know. But it, to me, it's just that whole crack, like you were saying, cracking open of the heart.
Yep. It's beautiful.
When that happens, there's a release that happens. It's like a baptism of water. It's a water baptism of tears that are flushing and purifying. It's a purification that happens and a baptism that happens. Yep. And it's a beautiful thing.
And it's usually when the mind's completely out of the way at that point, which is great, because when you have those experiences, you're kind of teaching yourself to let the mind go, let the ego go.
Mm-hmm. And for people that are into the energetics of what's happening in the galactic, planetary, whatever, right? There's a shift into a feminine aspect, a softening of the yang aspect of the hardness, right? And for a lot of us guys, that's very important and necessary, that, you know, that need to be strong, that need to be tough, that need to be, you know, like rock, you know, that, you know, in Taoism, the water is soft and yet it overcomes all the hardness.
Yep.
And it's malleable and it's flexible and it will assume the shape of any container that holds it, and yet it can overcome the hardest rock. Waves will, you know, overcome them. And so that's a very yin aspect, and that's what's coming in right now. And so for a lot of us men, you know, that, you know, like me with military background and all that, kind of growing up in the Arizona, which is kind of south, you know, a little bit of country, hard ass, you know, chewing tobacco and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of that stuff. There's a hardness to it. And I think most men have that.
Yeah. And I think there's definitely still a big yang perspective on even spirituality, right? A lot of people will be like, well, I do yoga, so I'm spiritual, versus I allow love, therefore I'm spiritual.
Right, right. And, you know, bringing that back into what is the miracle? The miracle is the expression of love. The miracle is allowing that love to happen within you.
Yep. Yeah. And again, if you can do that in the middle of chaos, the middle of a job, or maybe, you know, family stuff going on. I noticed lately, and I have to be careful at the same time, like I think the team that I've worked with over the last many months has greatly improved, like the relationships and people being able to work together. But then there's the moments where it's like they default back into like kind of chaos or getting upset about stuff. And I noticed now, instead of reacting to it, I noticed at first I was reacting. I was getting stressed out. And I would get upset. Now I just kind of relax and I start smiling. And I have to be careful because I think some people would say, oh, why is that guy smiling? He's laughing at us. And so, but, you know, I think it's just testament to that, you know, there's one that could be a sign of that, like miracles have occurred, at least within me and being able to be more at peace. But that, you know, you should be able to go into any situation and feel comfortable and be able to smile at things, because
sure,
you're going to be the one, the teacher of God, that's going to help people realize that this stuff's crazy and it's not worth it. Like, why can't we just enjoy what we're doing and love each other? And I know that's a huge thing to take on, but that's really, I think, what, if you want to be a teacher or master, that's kind of what it's all about.
And the joyful laughter and expression of, you know, is a natural outpouring of joy and laughter, and the, you know, the seriousness, right? Doesn't it say that the, you know, the Son of God, you know, remembered not to laugh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The thought of separation, and he remembered not to laugh. And I remember like really spending a lot of time on that. He didn't say forgot to laugh, because that would not be possible for the Son of God. Right? It's not an accident. He did it with intention. He remembered not to laugh. He took it seriously.
Yep.
That in seriousness is judgment.
Exactly. I think that's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to bring that up earlier, which is if you can start laughing or get other people to laugh, that's one, I think that's a sign of a miracle happening, especially in intense situations. But that's such an easy shift right there. Talk about breaking things open, breaking things up. Laughter is
right. So when Buddha was enlightened, he laughed for 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And there is something about the whole notion of the cosmic jokingness of the, you know, some of the illusion that you see.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And this might be a side topic, but I'm curious, have you ever done like a laughing yoga thing or one of those laughter exercises where everyone's just get everyone to laugh together? Yeah.
Did it in Hawaii at the JM retreat, you know, on the Way of Mastery. He teaches the Way of Mastery, which is a follow-up to the Course in Miracles, and was out there with a group of those folks, and we did a laughter yoga thing, and we had to laugh for 20 minutes or something, 25 minutes. It was a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, we paired up and looked into the eyes of your brother. And I ended up being paired up with this guy, John Mark Stroud, who goes around now doing play workshops. And he's channeled Jesus and taught A Course in Miracles and Way of Mastery and all this kind of stuff. And he's pretty, he's been doing workshops all over the world. And he basically like, it was kind of like a Shaktipat or whatever it's called, you know, that whole bam, infusion of light by staring into the eyes.
Yeah.
He's just looking at me and his eyes start to water and tear. And then mine start to, and I'm like fighting it, right? I still have that side, right? I was like, oh, frig me, are you kidding me? And then my whole body starts shaking and he's just like, come on, brother. And he's got his arms open wide and he's just like, let it out. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Let it in. And he's just gazing at me with this beautiful love. And he blasted me. And I just busted out crying finally. And he's just like, why'd you fight it so hard? That's what he said at the end. He's like, why'd you fight it so hard? Next time, don't fight it.
Well, that's a good point, too. It's just, I think there's whatever, I don't know how it's been programmed into us, but that we've all, a lot of people have been programmed not to let that stuff in, right? Right. I mean, and that's the whole point. I think that's why the ego is created. The ego is there to block all that love,
right?
So that it can still be separate. It can still like beat itself up and be guilty and have shame.
Yes.
So the more you can practice, again, body-based stuff or things that in your own mind, the more you're going to be open to God's love more and more and more, and just fill it up until that's all you are. That's what it's about.
It's like going from thin wires to big fat cables so you can flow more electricity.
Yeah.
More light.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep.
You know, you're expanding the diameter of the tube in which the water or the light is flowing, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Thickness of the wires. You're just opening, and it's a continuous process of opening till you're, you know, and removing all the blocks to that flow too, right?
Exactly.
So it's like getting out, from electrical standpoint, you're removing all the resistors.
Yep.
So, yeah. I got blasted really good there. I was like, whoa.
I think, yeah, I think
he's
that,
awesome.
That could
that
be
awesome.
Good homework for all of us is to go out and just kind of send love out, right?
Well, one of his missions, John Mark Stroud, and, you know, I'm going to plug him a little because I think he's awesome, and he does this thing called Waking Up to the Movies, but he does play shops, and he wears a clown's nose. He has a clown nose, a styrofoam clown or foam clown's nose that he – and we were walking around, you know, the island with these noses on out in public, and he's just like, seriousness is of the ego. And he was just like, try to get in a fight with your spouse with the nose on, because next time you start to get in an argument, put the nose on. You know, he's like, the next time you get too serious with yourself – put the nose on and stare at yourself in the mirror, because it disarms you. You know what I mean? It's very disarming to the ego.
Yep.
That lightness, you know, the light quality of laughter and joy, you know, and you're like, no, this is serious. This is real. You know what I mean? We need to talk about this. This is important. You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. And then you got a big old clown nose. The guy turns around with a clown nose on. You're like, hey. And it just, bam. It can stop the brain and the mind from judging and thinking, and then bam, the heart cracks open, and there's an entryway for light and for love to come through.
Light, Holy love, Spirit, miracles. Boom, yep,
to drop in. So it's pretty potent, actually.
It is. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's cool.
Well, hey, I noticed we're getting close to the top of the hour here. I know I got to move on.
Yep, for sure.
But before we leave, once again, Arts Unity Movement's doing some amazing work. You want to talk a little bit about that, Sheldon?
Arts Unity Movement, the nonprofit, and you can go there at artsunitymovement.com. And we're actually doing some work with San Mateo. I'm actually not part of it because of this program right now. They're at Kenyatta College and doing a presentation and a program with women that have been rescued from the sex trafficking industry. And so they're in kind of recovery and counseling, and we're doing some drumming and vibrational workshop and also a brief presentation to them. But, you know, Arts Unity Movement is a nonprofit that's working with opening the heart through art, through authentic movement and different kinds of workshops we have through drumming and vibration and sound. There's a bunch of different ways through meditation, through the Course in Miracles. There's a lot of different ways that we can shift out of that mental set and opening it into the heart, connecting. So we do a lot of things. You can check us out at artsunitymovement.com. And we are we still run our Course in Miracles 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesdays at 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo, California, if you happen to be here.
Awesome.
Cool, cool.
And you can check out our website, ofcourseradio.com. We have a download available, and if you purchase that, it all proceeds go to Arts Unity Movement, all the great work that you guys are doing.
Cool, cool, cool.
Appreciate it. And eventually we'll get an ebook out too, and we'll make that available for proceeds as well.
We are working on that, huh?
We are, right, Sheldon?
That's a Scott we. 9.9% of the work is Scott's done. I can't even say I've done the 0.1. So yes, but we will.
Okay.
How's that? I will start.
Sounds good. All right. Well, love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
And love to everybody out there. And let's practice that today, all throughout the day, all throughout the weekend. Yeah.
We are miracle workers.